the atmosphere of worship. You know, everything that we do in service is an act of worship. From worshiping, singing, to the preaching, to taking up the offering, that is an act of worship. We are surrendering ourselves, our lives. We're saying, God, I want you to have control. And so as we get into the Word, we're in the book of Colossians. We're ending this series that we started several weeks ago. This is actually week number 6. Going through the book of Colossians. And so here we are. We're in chapter 4. And I'll be reading here in just a moment. I hope that you have enjoyed this series. And let me encourage you, if you get an opportunity, the book of Colossians is a shortened book. It's not very long. It's just 4 chapters. So if you get an opportunity, maybe go through and reread it again. Also, you can find all the sermons online. And so just kind of make that a part of your daily routine. Just, you know, we also, Bracken provides an extra devotion on Facebook every week as a kind of a add-on to what we've kind of been talking about. So if you get an opportunity, go look at that as well. But our goal is that we grow in our faith, that we grow in our knowledge of the Word and what God is speaking to us. And that is what our desire and our plan is as a church. And so if you have your Bibles or your electronic devices with you, turn with me to the last chapter of Colossians, chapter 4. And I want to begin reading at verse 2, and we're going to finish out the chapter. But Paul begins by saying this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And then I'm going to butcher every name probably from the next several verses, so please forgive me. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read to the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. And then verse 18, Paul ends this letter by saying, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. I want to give you 9 thoughts that Paul gave in his final words. Now, y'all know me. I may have 9 points, but I promise you they won't go long. So bear with me. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. But the first thing that Paul tells them is continue in prayer. Verse 2 again says, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, when you look at the phrase devote yourselves, it means continue steadily or persevere, implying strong determination and passion for prayer. Now, in order to devote yourselves to serious prayer, we must be alert to the many things that would distract us from this purpose. Prayer was at the heart of the life of the New Testament church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer was clearly a high priority and a major part of life for the early church. In Acts, where there is much prayer, there is much activity of the Holy Spirit. And where there is much activity of the Holy Spirit, there is much prayer. They, the early church, recognized prayer as the source of intimacy with God, which gave them sensitivity to His direction and allowed His power to work through them. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. To pray continually does not mean to be constantly speaking to God or repeating formal prayers. Prayer is simply communicating with God, which suggests a two-way conversation. Now, think about this. How many of you just say a lot of prayers and you don't sit there and stop and listen for a moment? You know, I've been guilty of that in the past, you know. I talk to God, I say prayers. But then when God speaks to me, I don't listen. Because I still go and do what I want to do, right? A two-way conversation is when we speak, God speaks back. But that's how we receive a blessing, is when we listen to God and God speaks to us. But praying continually has more to do with an open heart and mind than with an open mouth. And this allows us to go throughout every part of our day in communication with God, open to His voice and prepared to follow His guidance. Number two, watching continually in prayer. In verse two, two words go together, pray and watch. They are very important. They remind us of the experience of Nehemiah. When the enemy tried to stop him from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, he didn't just throw in the towel and cry out that he couldn't do the job. If you remember the story of Nehemiah, if you've never read it, go back and read the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Because Nehemiah was sitting there building the wall, and as he's building the wall, he's being attacked and he's having to fight off the enemy. So he's building the wall. I mean, can you imagine having a brick in one hand and a sword in another? And you're sitting there trying to lay these bricks, and people are coming, you're like, get back, you know, and you're just trying to fight the best you can as you're trying to build the wall that God has told you to do. They were constantly watching and praying. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9 says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. This is what Paul tells us here, watch and pray. An old pastor in Georgia used to make this statement. He said, when a farmer prays for a corn crop, God expects him to say amen with a hoe. You know, you ask God to do something, and then we just sit back and say, okay, God, well, you know, just have your way, you know. Make the crop grow, Lord. The thing is, you know, what happens? If you don't get out there and work the garden, you know, and till and do all those things, what happens? It's not going to grow, is it? There's a process. It's kind of like praying for financial blessings, but we never pay our tithes. It's kind of like praying for health, but we're not taking our vitamins, you know. It's like we're just sitting back and expecting God to do all the giving and us to do all the taking. Number three, give thanks to God continually. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and you can look all throughout his letters and see times that he talks about giving thanks to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, for everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. These are just to name a few, but I could go on and on and on. I could have found more verses where Paul was talking about being thankful, thanksgiving, different references to thanks and being thankful. Now, why do you think Paul was so thankful to God? Could it be that God saved him from the destruction, from the path that he was on? I mean, Paul was the guy going around killing Christians, persecuting them, putting them in prison because of their faith. And Paul had a radical change, a radical moment that took place in his life where it changed him instantly. And he went from persecuting Christians to being one of the Christians that were persecuted. And do you think that maybe he had so much thanksgiving built up inside of him that he wanted to be so grateful and so thankful that he couldn't stop writing about being thankful to God? But think back on what God brought you out of. That is reasons to be thankful. Number four, pray for ministers and their work. Verse 3 says, and pray for us too. Paul was requesting prayer for all the ministers that worked alongside him. Later on, he mentions several of them, beginning in verse 7. And verse 3 continues, it says, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul was confident that God was directing his life and ministry by opening and shutting doors of opportunity and responsibility at just the right times. Acts chapter 16 records a time for Paul that he was trying to go in one direction, but the Holy Spirit stopped him and led him in another direction. You ever feel like God's pointing you in this direction, man, you're headed that way, and then you ever just feel like a barrier just got stopped, everything that you tried to do was just blocking you? We have to be listening to the Holy Spirit and understand that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and telling us, that is not the way I want you to go yet. Go this way. We have to be listening to the Holy Spirit and understand that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and is giving us direction, leading us in the ways that we should go. And I am asking you to pray for me and the staff here, both the paid and the volunteers, that as we do the work of the ministry, we listen to the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide us in the way that we should go. It's so important that we do that. Number five, pray for the success of the gospel. While God does not desire for us to sit passively by and wait for a sign before we take action in serving him, we should pray that God would open doors, trusting him to help us make the most of every opportunity and accomplish all that he desires. It is important that we do God's will. Amen? And it is through his will that the gospel will be successful. We need to pray for the success of the gospel. What does that mean? The gospel going forth, that as we preach the gospel, as we tell our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers and the people that we go to school with, the people that we do life with about Jesus, we need to pray that, those words are successful, that they don't fall on deaf ears, but people are attuned to what we are telling them and that they understand and start receiving what we are saying to them. Verse 4, Paul says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. If the gospel message is not clear, then the people will not get it. We have to make it plain enough to them to understand it. If they understand it, then the gospel will be successful. But you and I need to pray for the success of the gospel. Seeing believers reaching unbelievers, sharing the truth, spreading the message of Christ around the world. Number 6, live Christian life. In verse 5 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. That's some good word there. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Completion or perfection in Christ includes not only one's private and prayer life, but also one's public life. To perfect this dimension of one's life in Christ, Paul told believers to be wise in the way they act. Here's a good question. Are you a Christ follower? Do you love Christ? And if you've said yes to both of those questions, then here's the thing. Then you should be known as gracious. You should be known as hardworking people whose character and lifestyle set a good example for others both inside and outside the church. It's important that we as Christians don't be jerks. Amen? We don't have that right. The day that we asked Jesus to come and be our Lord and Savior was the day that we gave up our jerk card. Because we want to be a Christ follower. We want to follow Christ. I love what Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. What Paul was saying, he said, look, I'm going to set an example for you to follow. So you can follow me as I follow Christ's example. And as believers, as Christians, that's what we should do. We should all be able to say that. Follow me as I follow the example of Christ. I'm going to live as Christ lived so that you can follow me. Unfortunately, there are several Christians out there that say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But you can't, you look at them, you're thinking, you are? Now, I know we're not to judge, right, as believers. Trust me, there are sometimes you don't even have to judge. You can just look and see the life that some people live and know that, man, that's not the Christ that I know. But people are watching you. Don't give them any reason to believe that you are not a Christian. We are teaching God's love, so make sure that you show God's love. Amen? Number 7, use time for God. Look at the rest of verse 5. It says, make the most of every opportunity. You know, it's kind of interesting that this is our last of Colossians. The next series that we're doing is called Staycation. And we're going to be talking about making the most of opportunities. Interruptions, that when interruptions happen in our life, use those interruptions to be opportunities. And here we are. Verse 5 tells us, make the most of every opportunity. Opportunities for you to share the gospel will come. What are you going to do when those doors open up? Are you going to walk through them, or are you going to be standing on the outside too scared and don't know what to do? Make the most of every opportunity. Maybe some of you can think of times that an opportunity presents itself for you to share the gospel. Maybe you took the opportunity to tell that person about Jesus and they ended up getting saved. Where would that person be today if you hadn't taken the opportunity to share the gospel? Don't pass the opportunities up. God has placed you in put you in a place for that purpose, for that reason. You know, I remember in the book of Acts, there's a story where Philip was taken from a spot and placed in another. It's the only place in the Bible that I know of where, if you're a Star Trek fan, you know, where they were teleported, you know, from one place to another. And so they took him from one place and he ended up in another place to talk to the eunuch, and the eunuch got saved and baptized, all because Philip took the opportunity that God had presented to him. We must make the most of every opportunity that's presented to us. Number 8, be tactful with men. Verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. As Christians, as believers, our speech must be pleasant. It must be encouraging. It must be kind. It must be gracious. Make sure that it is worthy of being identified with Christ. It should set an example of godliness and decency for all who hear, and it should always speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. The kind of conversation results from the work of God's grace in our hearts. Paul uses a phrase here in this verse, verse 6. He says, seasoned with salt. And it is conversation that is right for the occasion, wholesome, marked by purity, free from corruption. Like salt, it should enhance and add flavor in a spiritual sense. When you go eat someplace or you eat at home and you're eating, and if you don't get enough of flavoring, what do? You reach for the salt shaker. You might even reach for the pepper shaker, but most of the time people reach. You ever gone to a restaurant and that, you know, you order French fries? Can I tell you? Those potatoes are pretty bland if they don't have salt on them, right? Salt does what? It enhances the flavor. Now, you don't want too much salt, because if you get too much salt, then all you taste is salt, right? But you want just enough to give it enough flavor. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that many know how to answer, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Like salt, it should enhance with flavor. Your conversations should enhance with flavor. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. The salt loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Our words and deeds should be used to exalt Christ and to lift other people up. How we treat other people makes a difference. Amen? And just because we use graceful speech does not rule out stern words. When it's necessary to challenge and oppose the enemies of Christ, Galatians chapter 1, verse 9 says, as we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. There are times people are going to say things. You need to know God's word so that you can tell them, no, that's not right. And I'm not saying get in an argument with somebody. But if somebody is not speaking the truth, or if somebody tells a lie about you or something, you know, it's okay to have a conversation. Can I just say, we can have conversations without getting in arguments. It seems like I get on, you know, you get on Facebook or any kind of social media, and all you see is people arguing back and forth. And you look at some of the things, and you're like, y'all are both not even correct, you know? And but people get in these conversations and they can't have can't be tactful. We as believers should be tactful with one another. Number 9. Be thankful for those who serve with you. Verses 7 through 18, Paul addresses all those who serve with him. Identifying with Paul as a prisoner was risky. Think about it. But there were many believers that did. And the list of names at the end of this chapter is a list of heroes of the faith. Remember the circumstances. Paul was in prison. He was awaiting trial. And it is always dangerous to be a prisoner himself. It took courage to visit Paul in his imprisonment and to show that one was on the same side. Can you imagine? Here this prisoner is, and you're saying, I support this man. Well, according to that government or whoever had him in prison, you're saying that I believe him over you guys. And so it was, they were taking a risk. These people were taking a risk by supporting Paul. But God places people in our life to help us fulfill the call of ministry that is upon our life. I, your pastor, cannot do this ministry without the help of my wife. She helps me stay grounded in everything that I do. The staff that we have here, both the paid and the unpaid, help me do the task to keep this thing going that I could not do by myself. And as we perform the ministry tasks that God gives us to do, it is important that we remember to give thanks to God for the people that he has placed in our life. That's what Paul was doing. He was naming off just a few people, telling them. I love the way he, I believe it was, I'll tell you real quick. Verse 12, Epaphras, he said, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. Here's what he says. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That's pretty amazing. He's sitting there calling out a prayer warrior. I don't know about you, but I need prayer warriors in my life. I need people praying for me, agreeing with me, believing that I can do all things through Christ, and to help me in my walk by praying for me and believing that God is going to help me get through whatever we are faced with on a regular basis. I want to close today, and I want to read to you Paul's final words in verse 18. He says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. You see, during Paul's first Roman imprisonment, he wrote Colossians, Philemon, Ephesians, and Philippians. Amazingly, in spite of being unjustly confined to prison for 4 or more years, Paul's letters are filled with thankfulness, grace, joy, and love. Even in his most trying times, Paul still preached the thankfulness, the grace, the joy, and love of God. And we too can remember who God is even in difficult times. God is thanksgiving. God is grace. God is joy. And God is love. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for allowing us to come here and listen to your word. God, I pray if there's anybody here that does not know you and they would like to know who you are, I pray that you would speak to them this morning, touch their hearts, wherever they may be, God, that listening to this message, God, I pray that you would speak to them right now, God, that you would touch them right now where they're at. God, I give you praise and I give you glory. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Start a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Every sin forgiven, washed away as if it never happened. You recognize that you need His grace. You need His forgiveness. You need hope. You need change. I want you to know this morning, you cannot earn it. You do not deserve it. It's freely given to you. And that is why you're here today. It's time to say yes. Today, by faith, give Him your life. And if this is you, I just want you to say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I confess that I need a Savior. Today I give my heart to You. Come into my life and make me clean. I want to serve You. I give my life to You. I am no longer my own, but I am Yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." If you said that this morning and you're at home, you can send us a text to 479-888-7331. We want to know about it. If you're here, be sure to tell somebody about it. We want to help you in your faith journey however we can, whatever we can do. We want to help you walk those steps. Can we just worship this morning one last time before we go?
And I will give all my love to worship, and I will sing with all my might, and I will rejoice with my heart to praise You, because saving grace. Lord, Your word is true that delivers. Your promise to me is life eternally. I will rejoice with my heart to praise You, because You are, You're my saving grace. And Lord, You
want to remind you that as you leave this morning, you can drop your offering plate or your offering off in the bags at the back of the sanctuary. Also, if you would like, you can give online. We have that available as well. You can also text to give. There's multiple ways. So you can just ask us. We can help you walk through any way. Don't forget Wednesday night Bible study this Wednesday at 6:30. Now, we'll be doing something a little different. It'll be pre-recorded. My family's going to take a little miniature vacation. But it'll be available at the normal time on Wednesday. Also, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you know when the video becomes available. So thank you for coming. Y'all have a wonderful week. And if I don't see you before then, I'll see you next Sunday.